toward the cost of the reclassification of staff, but it does fund the position to create a permanent full-time receptionist position. It also eliminates one session-only position that's no longer used. In information systems, these funds provide for the creation of four new technology positions, and again assume that were discussed during the hearings, and again assume that the cost of reclassification will be able to be absorbed. Package 202 is the technology transition program, which in effect is the bill drafting system. This appropriates $639,307 in general fund. Most of that is to pay for the debt service on the certificates of participation that are used to finance the project. And you can also see then an additional $1,195,000 in other funds that represents the proceeds from the issuance of CLPs this biennium. Package 203 is not recommended and is no longer needed. That was taken care of as the agency testified. Package 204 has been reduced to $173,740 general fund, and it funds a number of the technology infrastructure items that were discussed during the hearings, support for the new wireless network, some additional software, some recurring costs that are in there, a new network switch, etc. Package 205 is the recording and archiving system, and it would appropriate $234,625 in general fund. And this is the first phase to conduct the business and technical analysis and the development of requirements for purchase of a new system. As you know, we are still on the old audio tape system, and there's a desire to make sure we get a system that actually is a little more up-to-date technologically and also is has a longer lifespan. Package 206 for the Oregon Channel continues the Oregon Channel at its existing service level, so it will continue. Package 301, facility services positions, again not recommended, but the agency will go ahead and reclassify the positions and absorb the costs. Package 302, which is the capital renovation project, has been removed from this and will be considered in other legislation before the end of the session to make sure that all of the debt service numbers and all of the financing pieces are in place in the appropriate way.
Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Capital construction budget, we're going to see this probably?
You will see it will be in the capital construction budget. It will also be in the certificates, the bonding for the certificates of participation. And then the general fund debt service and the portions for relocation that are general fund based, you will probably see in the end of session bill.
And has the House formulated its semi-final plans for how they want that to look on the House side?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, it is my understanding that they have come to a conclusion, although there is still some for the entire capital, some changes that will still have to be accommodated. As we go further into this budget, you will see some of the positions that were discussed were approved. That will cause some adjustment in some of the floor plans, but as my understanding, those can still be accommodated within the time within the dollars. But we have, I think we want to be clear that some of those kinds of decisions may cause some adjustment, and it is likely that we will create some kind of special purpose appropriation to make sure that we have that ability to make those adjustments.
I just want to mention that because of the discussion started here with the support of the chair, the Senate side has come to a pretty tight resolution of what the Senate side is going to look like now, and we're pretty well settled on it. We had four or five really good meetings, bipartisan, with staff, and we had good work with the staff here as well as the architects. So we feel pretty good about the Senate side now. It's pretty tight. And I was hoping the House will come along pretty quickly, too. They have some bigger challenges than we do.
Package 303, the garage security, again, the agency testified that was completed. The package is not needed. Package 304, the HVAC control system upgrade, is not included because it's assumed that it will be taken care of as part of the capital renovation.
Going back to the capital renovation for just a second, has there been a decision by the powers that be as to whether or not that's going to be a financed project, or is it going to be a non-financed project?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, I believe at this time the assumption is that it will be financed with certificates of participation similar to most of the large construction projects.
So on a $35 million project, if I may follow it, Ms. McCarr, so on a $35 million project, we're going to end up paying $55 million because of financing costs.
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, I think that I have not seen the current long-term projection. That obviously adjusts somewhat, but you will pay, in effect, the cost of financing for a long time period, similar to, again, what is generally done with the large building and construction projects on the mall.
Mr. Chair, along those lines, we have an option any time during that COP, which is probably a 20-year COP, to buy it out anytime. We've actually bought some of those out. Last session, we bought one out in Natural Resources for the Parks Department. We bought one of the bonds out, saved a lot of money. We had the money to do it. We did it. We have an opportunity to do that with this also. There's not many things I think is worth bonding for, but if you got a building you're going to live in for 50 years, you bond it for 20 years, I think that's still a gain. But I also share your concerns of paying that interest out and when we could possibly do it up front. I think in this budget it's going to be hard to do, but in future budgets, if we've got money for some of this bonding issues, I'd have no problem going there. Getting rid of debt is the key to getting yourself on the right sound financial footing that you need. Right now we've got a problem. I don't want to hear about in September of this year that the right wing is burned down because aluminum wiring finally gave out and then we're really in trouble. So I think we have to move forward this, unfortunately, because it's got to be such a situation as far as safety is concerned, not just cosmetics. But I understand you. I hear you.
Mr. Chair, I would assume that will also be a matter of discussion during the capital construction hearing.
I agree with the Senator Davis, of course, with possible exception of when you have the money, even if it's an individual buying a house, I might well prefer to pay cash for it unless my money can make more money than the investment in the house. So
absolutely. I like arbitrage when you can get it.
Yeah. One of the things, of course, that we've done a little of this, I think, too, since I've been here, when we've had some very good rates, we've bonded or borrowed money as a it sounds better, I understand, the bonding, but it's still
borrowing.
I understand it's still borrowing.
If Crummell correct, it's still borrowing.
And but when we had some of those very good bonding rates, we borrowed some money to pay off, some things, including among a major item of PERS, which was a real solid investment for us. So, but I think kind of where you're at, Representative Crummell, my preference would have been when we got the original $152 million to have taken the money and paid for the project and had it underway. And there were people at pay grades higher than mine that favored that, but it still didn't come to fruition for whatever, or hasn't to this point. Maybe because there was other demands. That Representative Galizio and others brought on that $152 million. So.
Guilty.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No problem. Package 305, the capital remodel planning, recommends $500,000 in general fund to develop a long-term facilities plan for the Capitol building in the Capitol Mall area.
And that is not in relationship to the Wings project. That's in relationship to the entire...
Correct.
If I may say, campus that we have rented at some length on in committee here about the lack of planning that has taken place and the fact that everybody has got a different plan.
Correct.
none of which are coordinated with each other. So I suppose given our previous positions, we have some obligation to provide some funding for that plan.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Whitson.
Is there someone designated or some agency designated or some entity designated to receive that $500,000 and actually produce a plan?
I believe that would be DAF, wouldn't it? It would be the controlling.
No, Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, the money would be appropriated to the Legislative Administration Committee for that agency, and they would then determine how best to contract to get that review done and to get that plan taken care of.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Teresa, you mentioned the Legislative Administration Committee. So I assume that then that denotes that there is actual legislator oversight of how that is being contracted. And so if we have in the future a complaint, we would want to levy that with the chair of the Legislative Administration Committee. Am I correct in
Mr.
that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, there is the Legislative Administration Committee, which the chairs are the presiding officers, and they ultimately would, I'm sure, have a review of how this was going to be actually spent, contracted for, and that is correct.
Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
Are there any sideboards, I guess this is a question to the LFO staff, are there any sideboards right now about other activities occurring with respect to capital construction that would be out ahead of this $500,000 general fund appropriation to do the planning? I guess what I'm trying to figure out is that there, we sat in this very room and listened to folks talk about building projects, and I don't know where the control valve is to make sure that there are not autonomous activities occurring in advance of this kind of campus. I like that expression. Campus plan.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, the only thing that's in effect out ahead of this is the capital renovation project that we've just discussed about the wings. Other than that, I'm not aware of anything that would be done that is in conflict. I would assume that one of the things that the Legislative Administration folks are going to be doing is working with DAS, though, as well, to find out what else is going to be occurring on the mall and making sure that whatever projects are done are coordinated for everyone that resides on the Capitol Mall.
Or future potential tenants, because it seems to me if we're going to spend this kind of money to do planning, there ought to be some level of assurance that nothing is operating outside of this venue, and that's the level of reassurance that I'm looking for.
Senator Bates.
Mr. Chair, I think this is a wise way to deal with this for two reasons. One, I feel that the legislature is the part of government, especially the House, I'd add, that is closer to the people of the state of Oregon as far as elected officials are concerned. I think that the broad diversity we have in that will really get us to a point of saying what's best for the people of Oregon, what do we want this, as you've said, campus to look like. And I have a lot of confidence in this group being willing and able to do that. I would not want it to be the way it's been coming at us right now. The treasurer walks in and says, I need a new building. The governor is kind of saying, well, maybe if I'm not staying, I need to go somewhere else. The Secretary of State is wondering where he's going to be if the treasurer leaves. It's just sort of a higgly-piggly sort of mess on our hands for something that's very important and needs to be planned carefully. The second reason I think they can do the job and will do the job is they have control of the purse strings. And when you've got control of the money, you can make a decision about what's best to do. You'll have an idea what those costs are and get everything coordinated so that we have a mall and a campus that's appropriate for the state of Oregon and that functions for the next 50 to 100 years. My expectation is we'll probably see some pretty big changes with this work that's going to be done by this $500,000, and it'll come back to us, I would expect, in the 2009 legislature so we can have a good look at it. But we need to make some changes. And what we do right now is make this building safe, and then the second thing we do as we're doing that is decide where everybody's going to be in this campus for the next 50 to 100 years. I think it's a good way to go. I think someone had some pretty thoughtful idea to put this into lack.
Thank you, Senator Bates. One of the things I'm making a foolish assumption, but I'm assuming that they don't have to spend the whole $500,000.
Mr. Chair, that is correct, that they do not have to spend $500,000.
That is the... It's not necessary to spend the whole $500,000.
Thank you.
306, again, is not recommended at this time. It can be absorbed within the agency's budget. Then package 806, and these are the adjustments that we are making as a result of the discussions that have taken place and the agreements. The first is updating, as we recall, during the hearings, we received updated information regarding the cost for the Oregon State Police for security for the Capitol for the biennium. So you have an increase of $82,257 in general fund. However, the package then also does eliminate the dedicated funding for the Pacific Fishery Task Force and the Western State Forestry Task Force in the amount of $79,956. The elimination of the funds does not preclude that travel could actually occur. It just does not put it into a separate appropriation that then is has traditionally not been spent.
As I read this, essentially this... when the smoke and mirrors are removed, this is $80,000 general fund money.
Sorry, Senator, I got to put my hearing aid in here.
Well, I mean, if this money has not been spent by these two task forces over the years, and as we've heard, it's been reverted back to the general fund, and now we're appropriating it to the state police for the security, it's actually coming from general fund.
Yes.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Whitson, it's just two separate items that are put into this same piece. One is the cost of the state police would occur regardless of whether or not we disappropriated this other money. So they are two separate items that, in effect, are just put into this one adjustment package. But they are both general fund items. All right, Legislative Assembly. As you recall, the discussion there was around additional resources for members, and Package 806 provides $4,216,590 in general fund for additional resources for members for interim staffing and other interim costs. In effect, this package doubles what is currently available to members during the interim, and does, in effect, provide enough funds sufficient to hire a full-time staff person during the interim.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Whitson.
Teresa, is that total amount that will be the $4.2 million, is that the total amount that will be available to the legislators, the 90 legislators, or is that an addition?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitson, that's an addition. There already is $4.2 million available, so it, in effect, doubles what is currently available.
That would be about $46,000, $46,800 per legislator. Increase.
Something of that nature.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bates.
Senator Whitson already asked the question, I guess, what I really want to ask. So for the biennium, is that money broken down in a way that we can use it any way we want to, or is it broken down for salary versus materials, or is it just a lump sum to be used? I mean, the difference is in where you live, how big your district is, where are going to be as far as interim work is concerned is quite variable. So how much leeway do we have now this funds are available to us?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, the package and the actions in the budget there's no restrictions built into that. Obviously, if the presiding officers chose to have some restrictions through rules of the Senate or the House, we can't speak to that here. But in general, this package at this point does provide resources sufficient to double a staff person, but there are no additional restrictions on.
And is Senator Whitson's numbers about correct for what it looks like for each legislator as far as the biennium is concerned?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, it sounds about right based on what I know about what is spent today per member.
We can get back to us later on that if you would.
Happy to do that.
Thank you.
I think, members, there's a one issue that is hidden or is in this that we probably wouldn't otherwise be thinking about, and that has to do with benefits that staff may receive. And Teresa, correct me if I'm wrong, but as it stands now, the benefits that any staff that you might have received is not part of your budget. It's picked up by the assembly budget at this time.
That's a significant information. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Yeah. And with this package now, the benefits will be picked up by your office or your budget, sort of thing. Now, if I understood Teresa correctly on this, as we were discussing it, this also means that there is some portion of this money that is figured in as benefits, not line item, I guess, but it's figured in as benefits. And in the event that your staff is not receiving benefits, that money is not added to your overall that you can do with whatever you want to do with. Again, within the parameters of what the leaders in both the House and Senate might.
And Mr. Chair, that is, in effect, it continues it exactly as it is under current practice, which, again, ultimately, there's a reconciliation that Ledge Administration does to make sure that it all comes together and that the Assembly budget as a whole, will be handled appropriately and balanced.
Let's make sure I get this right, if I could, Mr. Chair. You talked about a doubling of this budget, but in fact it's not a doubling because now this would be picking up benefits also, which are substantial. Right?
No, Mr. Chair, it's the same. Today there's $4.2 million in effect available for members, and under that same practice. If you were to use that all for services and supplies, you would not have access to benefit dollars. That's my understanding because you have not triggered those. That continues the practice. So I'm not sure members had complete understanding of how it was, how it occurs now, but it is exactly the same practice and the assumption there. The bottom line is that dollars are not triggered for benefits unless certain conditions are met. And certainly, again, Senate and House rules can be adjusted to deal with how best to get the dollars to members, and I think there's some discussions going on to that effect.
There's also discussions, have been discussions and rumors going on as far as time cards are concerned. And the general consensus of the Speaker and the President and their Chiefs of Staff in the meeting that we were in where this was discussed was that they would probably not be inclined to go with the kind of typical time card sort of things that you have to punch every day or something of that nature. But if there are benefits, which would include incurring of sick leave and the incurring of vacation leave, and or any of those types of things, then that would have to be accounted for. That only makes, it seems to me, probably logical sense that you can't have people accumulating vacation leave and not keep track of it when they're on vacation or when they take a day off, you know, sort of thing. So as you encounter questions or concerns about time cards, that's the part of the time card that is being talked about. They're not talking about coming in and punching a clock in the morning and then punching it out in the evening. Senator Whitson.
Mr. Chair, if a legislator's employee accumulated sick leave and or vacation leave and did not collect that sick leave or vacation leave before the legislator left the body, then who would be required to pay for the sick leave and or vacation pay?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, again, some of that will be up to the rules to establish, but in general, sick leave that is not used when someone leaves employment is just not available. There is no adjustment for that. Typically, vacation leave is paid out by the employer. So, assuming that would continue for these positions, it would probably be included in the package of the funds for members to assume that that would be taken care of. And in effect, when you're funding and looking at that budget, I know Sandra here is taking care of making sure that those benefit costs are accounted for.
And I think those items are in most of the things we're familiar with, part of negotiated contracts rather than just conditions that are in statute or something. And so this puts a little bit of pressure on you to make sure your staff don't get running around negotiating contracts or negotiating union contracts.
Surprised Art Towers isn't down here right now.
Yes.
Continue.
Go ahead.
Legislative Council, Package 100 accommodates for the general program reclassifications. And again, you see the difference here in the smaller offices. You will see the funding for reclassifications and salary just because of the limited capacity for those offices to absorb those costs. Package 101 is the IT package to replace the PCs for the office. Package 102, the Oregon Law Commission package, does not continue the additional staff attorney position that was approved for the 05-07 biennium. Package 806, then, is the adjustments based on the discussions we heard and decisions that have been made. The package does provide funds for three new permanent full-time positions, two copy editors and one deputy. And again, probably good to remind folks that there were also two additional deputies approved during last interim for the office. And to cover the cost of reclassifying positions to bring them into line with comparable positions in other government agencies, and again, primarily Department of Justice, as we discussed. This package also reflects increased revenue. Legislative Council will make an adjustment to their rates to agencies from 80 to 100. That fee has not been adjusted since the institution of fees, and the message is to kind of keep them comparable to the Department of Justice. Something that you did not see, it's come to us from the Public Safety Subcommittee, is the council funds $50,000 for continuing the activities of the council and court procedures. That was discussed in the Public Safety Subcommittee, and they set aside $50,000 to continue these costs. It is, in effect, a pass-through, a transfer from the legislative branch to the council to continue under their current operations. Ledge Council will not provide management or policy control, but they will ensure the funds get to the right entities. Legislative fiscal, again, didn't come with any packages, but after discussions, we have a package 806 here. This package creates three new positions, in effect. One is a one-year half-time fiscal impact analyst to accommodate for the full regular session, so somebody can come on early and start to work with members and with Ledge Council and agencies and then stay a little bit afterwards for wrap-up. One permanent full-time analyst to provide expertise on statewide technology issues, and half of the cost for one permanent full-time position to provide technology assistance to LFO and the Legislative Revenue Office as well and the committees they serve. The package also provides funds to cover the cost of reclassifying positions to bring them into line with comparable positions, and finally adds $100,000 to contract for services to perform a targeted audit or audits of areas of government that either receive limited review or have particular issues coming out of this session regarding performance, and to kind of pilot that, take a look at that.
Mr. Chair.
Right, is that $100,000, is that like a pilot program? Because that's certainly inadequate. It's not even the tip of the iceberg of what we need there.
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitson, it is indeed saying we will, and we will use as a contract this first time to demonstrate how does this work and to bring back more information to the body in the future about what we would need if we really were going to do this, and also for the body to kind of help us determine what the best ways to approach that issue.
And Senator, with the chair's position, as we were trying to work our way through this, was that $100,000 for this type of purpose, probably a pretty small amount of money. I made some attempt to push that up to $200,000 at least, which I think was what the original figure was. But as you can tell, Teresa has is very, very persuasive about the fact that the co-chair said they didn't want to go that way or something of that nature. So we're back down to 100. So it does kind of become a pilot project, and I think I share with you some concern. I'd like to have seen a little more perhaps there so we could get a pretty good look at what might happen with that. But it wasn't to be.
So in follow-up, Mr. Chair, and just to clarify, what we're doing is we're going to study the situation some more through some activities to see if a legislative audits office is something that we really ought to do, even though all of us sitting at this table and probably 90% of the body knows damn good and well that it is something that we ought to do, and we ought to quit relying on the executive branch to be doing our audit work where we can't even make ourselves the client.
Thank you, Representative.
Correct? Okay. I just want to make sure I have it right.
Legislative revenue, package 806, again, reflecting the discussions. It does fund the other half of the cost for the permanent full-time position discussed in legislative fiscal and provides the cost of reclassifying positions to bring them into line with comparable positions. And all of those in total then come to the general fund budget of $75,206,167. $75,206,167 general fund. Excuse me.
Why didn't I say something? Different?
And I was going to say, if you would look on my one error as I went through here, is noting that under the recommended appropriation bill amendment, there was a $956 we caught at the last minute in the package, eliminating the task forces. So the correct number is the one on the front,
$75,206,167. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, a quick comment, if I could. I appreciate the robust discussions we've had in this committee concerning these budgets and the fact that we know we're in a situation where our oversight is not what it should be. Legislative Council has had real challenges this session, and they're going to have a real challenge in the next session in February. It's a new experience for them and for us. And I'm hoping the changes we've made here and the extra funding we've given them will allow them to move forward and be effective. LC is actually pretty easy for us to figure out as far as outcomes concerned. We work directly with them, and they do our bills for us. We read those bills, and I think I've seen, as the session's gone along, an improvement down there. Now, that's my sense. Others may not share that. It was pretty chaotic at the beginning, and things seem to have settled down, and the load has lessened, of course, but it seems to me that the performance is improving, and I hope it continues to improve, and those people down there work really hard for us. I appreciate that, and I think they need more help, and I hope this is the help they're going to get. In LFO, I'm still very concerned that this is an undermanned organization, and I don't mean in a small way, in a very large way. I made a comment yesterday as we moved out the DHS budget, a $12 billion-plus budget, a budget that's the biggest one we actually put out because we have so much other funds in it, that we have two people and analyze that for us, and they're very good. They do a great job. But if you really want to get down to it, I don't know any corporation in America that runs $12 billion through its books with two people looking at it. That should be a force of 30 people there going out in the field and seeing what's really going on and giving us some answers. We're not even close to what we need there. There are things happening inside the agencies that are, from my point of view, hopeful. The largest part of the agency, the Department of Human Services, is headed up by Dr. Goldberg. He has started a program there utilizing the business community, starting with John Ramsey, Executive Vice President of Retired from Lockheed Martin, whose job for Lockheed Martin, another $12 billion agency, one outside of government, was right-sizing large entities. And they're starting that program and moving it through the entire budget there. That's the kind of thing I think needs to happen, reported back, because I think it gets the audit issues we're talking about here, too. That kind of stuff makes me think that we're moving in the right direction. But I don't want us to go away thinking that LFO is got the people, the number of people, and the support it needs to watch these budgets. They do a great job for what they've got, but I don't believe that they're anywhere near what they need to be to ultimately make sure we are effective and efficient in government in this state. So The co-chairs have worked very hard to make that happen with the resources they have available to them, but I still question whether or not we're doing what we really need. Teresa, you may feel differently about this, but I mean, if you ask me what's in that $12 billion budget at a level lower than the first couple levels, I couldn't tell you. I really couldn't tell you. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Payton says. Senator Woodson.
I would just echo what the good Senator from Medford had to say. Same thing true of the ODOT budget, a $5 billion budget that we looked at from 30,000 feet. I don't have the staff to get into it. Question for Teresa. What would have been the EBL budget for the legislative, the entire legislative budget?
Mr. Chair, Senator Woodson, it was $66.9 million, I believe.
The 2005-07 budget was 75.
And as I recall, Mr. Chair, Senator Woodson, I'll just double check here. I can't even hear. There were some one-time funds that were removed from that. Yes, $66.9 million was the essential budget level. And again, because of some one-time money and paying off debt and some other things, the number for essential budget level was actually lower than the 05-07 budget proof number.
So you said $66.9 million. Thank you.
On the general fund.
Oh.
Not right now.
Okay. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Just to pile on to the comments made by my two colleagues, one of the other things I think that is should be noted as an issue of concern is that we don't have a very deep bench in LFO. We have a lot of people who have been there a long time and have deep expertise session after session. To lose a John Britton or any of those. I mean, you just go right down the list where they've been doing the same budget over and over and over again. And I'm concerned that throughout state government, we, at the agency level as well, we don't do very good succession planning to be able to pass the institutional history. And I agree with the comments about legislative fiscal and legislative revenue to have adequate folks in there to be able to discharge the responsibilities that the legislature has come to rely on them to discharge, I think, is pretty important.
Thank you.
This is as good a budget as we're going to get this time, and it's a step in the right direction. And I don't mean my comments to imply any criticism of the chair for bringing out what I think is positive movement in the right direction. I just want to underscore the need to continue to be cognizant of the services provided by particularly LFO and echo what my two Senate colleagues have said.
Thank you. Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I did have another question, and that would be, could you compare the budget for LFO to the budget for the BAM division of DAS?
Mr. Chair, Senator Woodson, I don't have that off the top of my head. In general, what you would see in budget and management is about the same number of analysts, per se, but they also then have the systems people that, in effect, we all rely on. So, in general, just I guess I can do a moment of showing my age and historical context from both sides. In general, Oregon, because of the nature of the biennial session and how certain things that we are allowed to do in the LFO, in effect on behalf of understanding the executive budget and that they can do for us, for example, they draft budget reports, both offices are small compared to national standards, I would say, in general you would find. But in general, analyst to analyst, it's about the same number.
It would just seem to me that once again the Letson's physical is way understaffed, and that there are perhaps equal in number and equal the budget to those people who are writing the executive budget, but there's no that's one function. But the other function is to examine what all the agency budgets are doing, and all the agency people who are not a part of BAM, who are constructing budgets and in some situations hiding dollars here and there, and we don't have the staff to find it. It's alarming to me.
Senator, I'm going to go to Representative Crumble. I think he looked like he had something he wanted to say.
All I would mention, Mr. Chair, thank you, is that I agree with my colleagues from the Senate side. This is definitely a step in the right direction, but I share some of the same concerns. For our professional staff and legislative council and legislative fiscal and revenue, but I also for our personal staffs. And so this is a step in the right direction, but I think in the future we need to really ramp it up. Thank you.
We are going to stand in recess for... order. We're still discussing Senate Bill 5522, which is a legislative agency's budget, and if you would, Teresa, get us back going.
Okay. I believe then we've gone through all of the offices, so the second part of this is then approving the amendments to the bill, which if you look at those are primarily changing dollar amounts, although there is a new section which we should note.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Section 1 where you have line 11?
Yes.
You're deleting $1,768,181 and you're adding $1,000,000.
And actually, there's no change anymore. Good catch, Mr. Chair. That was when we were putting the debt service in here, so no change to line 11. And the deletions that you see there are relative to deleting... the lines for the renovation remodeling of the state capitol and also the committees and task forces, which is the Western Forestry and the Fisheries. The new section that you will see is a section that is being drafted. If you recall, there was a discussion of the dates around reversions for the assembly. Currently, it's on a little different schedule than most of government, and there's been a decision to not adjust that for members, the individual members, but to adjust it for the all of the offices and the desks to put them on a normal 24-month period so they will not have to deal any longer with the 6-18-month kind of cutoff and shifting of funds. So there will be a new section in that represents that. And other than that, those dollar amounts relate to... the numbers you have seen in those adjustments.
Mr. Chair, do you want to do the this as one motion, or do you want to do it as individual motions? What's your preference for this?
Well, I was going to ask Teresa about the what do we got here on the performance measures.
If you would like to do that as well, Mr. Chair. Under performance measures, attached you will see measures for four of the six agencies. We currently do not have measures for assembly or for legislative revenue office. And even among the measures you have, you will see in general some recommendations that talk about a further outline of measures or targets and to ensure they are appropriately outcome linked. Bottom line is, as we discussed, the legislature has been a little bit behind. It's kind of a cobbler and shoes issue on dealing with performance measures for themselves, but has made the commitment that they are going to continue down this road and will use this interim period to further refine and to take those steps. So you do have performance measures, but again, they are somewhat preliminary in nature to some degree, and that work will be done to have that available for review during the 09 budget process.
Mr. Chair, I have a suggestion for just two performance measures for the legislature. Well, three, I guess. One would be to pass bills, make laws. Two is to balance a sustainable budget, and three is to go home.
Is there any other priority?
Three. We could put that as number one.
Mr. Chair, wouldn't passing bills be outputs rather than outcomes?
I think it would be.
Well, it would be outputs.
Didn't say passing the windows.
Or how going home could be about the only outcome that you hope to get.
Mr. Chair,
Yes.
Time is pressing, and you guys can make it called at any moment. We're going to go to session pretty quick. Would you entertain a motion for this budget? Give us a second.
When we return, if you want to craft the amendment or the motion.
We can do this very quickly,
Mr.
Chair.
Put it all in one.
Mr. Chair, I would move that Senate Bill 5522, as amended by LFO, be moved to the full Joint Ways and Means Committee to do pass recommendation.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, the Chair will make one observation, and that is that we have an issue regarding the Legislative Assembly and that there is no specific budgeted money for the 30-day session, and we need to make a note of that in the budget, if you would, Teresa, and that there are some expenses, some costs there, and Representative Trumbull, very quickly.
Very quickly, on the Indian Services Commission, the KPM, number two, that really needs to be revised.
Okay. Having heard all of the discussion, is there any objection? Hearing none, noting that Representative Galizio is excused, the motion carries. We need carriers to the full committee, the Senate committee. Senator Bates, are you
very willing to carry it?
Senator Bates will take it to the full committee. And do you want to carry it in the Senate as well?
Carry it in the Senate.
And do I have anybody that would love to carry it on the House side?
I'd be willing to do it, Mr. Chairman.
I've got two volunteers.
Well, I'll let him take it.
No,
I'll let you take it.
No, that way I can't ask questions.
Yeah.
Representative Trumbull is going to carry it on the House side to avoid the lengthy questions. So.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on General Government, Wednesday, June 20th, 2007, 8:30 a.m., Hearing Room H170.